Our reading from Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 8. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of that day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, "Cornelius." And he stared at him in terror and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside." When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him, and having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion, what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. There's no shortage of this desire in our culture today. And if we could just stop there in the text, it would be a very appealing message to the culture of our time, the culture that desires socially responsible marketing. We've been observing this shift in marketing as America is in the midst of a big change. As our population gets older, millennials are getting closer to snatching the baton away from boomers, and with it, the largest transfer of wealth in the history of the world. For when the boomers start dying off, an estimated $30 trillion in America alone will be transferred from boomers to their millennial children and grandchildren. Sorry, Gen Xers, you're just too small a generation for anyone to care about. And organizations and companies want a piece of that $30 trillion. So the research has gone in to figure out how to market to them. What is it they care about? And just like every generation before, they do so by looking at the generation's distinctive values, preferences, habits, and fears tied to their earning and spending habits. And the research is showing that millennials, on average, are more controlled and are less likely to spend money unnecessarily than previous generations. Yet when millennials do decide to part with their money, it is overwhelmingly going to organizations and corporations with brands of pro-social messages. In 2015, Forbes magazine published a report that indicated that globally, 66% of consumers are willing to spend more on a product if it comes from an ethical and socially conscious brand. Yet millennials gave an even more impressive showing, with 73% of surveyed millennials indicating a similar preference. Additionally, it revealed that 81% of millennials even expect their favorite companies and organizations to make public declarations of their corporate citizenship, which is a fancy way of saying the good things they do for others. So the research indicates that in order for millennials to use their money, they are looking for four major qualities in socially responsible organizations and companies. Millennials want them to be actively invested in the betterment of society and the solution of social problems. They want them to prioritize making an impact on the world around them. They want them to be open and honest about their efforts and to be very public about their pro-social initiatives. Finally, millennials want them to involve their customers in their good works. They want an opportunity to give back, whether it's with a gift of their time or of their money, so that they can get all the feels of being connected to a good thing. Simply put, people in general, and millennials most of all, want the organizations and companies they associate with to be serious about making the world a better place. And if these organizations and companies want a piece of that $30 trillion the millennials are about to inherit, then they will be open and communicative in their marketing about how they operate and how they make an impact by doing good in the world. So again, if we could just stop at the first two verses of our text today and proclaim this as what the church is all about, we could really do some solid, socially responsible marketing for our beloved LCMS in this key demographic. Think about it. Cornelius checks all the boxes. A soldier, well, just stop right there. Who doesn't love and support our troops, especially on the day that we observe Veterans Day? This is perhaps one of the easiest marketing moves to make. Just promote a connection to supporting the troops, the definition for our society of service to others. And even though the Roman army was usually known for its control of the troubled province of Caesarea through domination and abuse of its military power, Cornelius is different. While he is busy with all his many and great official responsibilities controlling the Jewish uprisings, he takes a social servant approach by taking time to care for the poor and is generous in his almsgiving for the needy. He even has respect for the religious practices of the Jews, praying to their God instead of the gods of Rome. See all the good Cornelius does for others. He is so good, kind, and considerate, always putting others before himself. He is obviously revered as a saint, that he has been even recorded by name and works throughout history, right here in the book of Acts, the history of the early church. Yes, if we could just promote our corporate social responsibility brand by showing this is what the church is about and point out how much we are still like St. Cornelius by all the good we are still doing in the world and how much of an impact we make through Lutheran disaster response, our global mission work, and you know what? They can even be a part of it by joining one of our short-term mission teams. It could easily go a long way in appealing to that good works sensitive old Adam that, while present in all generations, seems to be exaggerated within the millennials, who, by the way, just so happen also to be the largest unchurched generation in American history. So there you go, LCMS Communications. Get to work. They even want you to market to them, us, in this way. But we all know that is not what this text is about. The text does not stop after those two verses lauding the good works of Cornelius, commendable as they are and as much good as they do for society. In fact, the text even goes on to make the point that such works are insufficient for making him a saint. Notice that when the angel comes, it doesn't say, "Congratulations, Cornelius, you're such a good man, you've done so well that God is pleased with you." No, while the angel does say that Cornelius' prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial to God, it is followed with direction to send for Peter. It even becomes more clear later in verse 22 when we hear Cornelius' servants report to Peter, Cornelius was warned from God by an angel to send for Peter. The warning implies Cornelius' good works and prayers were not enough. He needed to hear the gospel. No matter how just and good Cornelius was and how much these good works may have inclined his heart towards God and benefited and served his neighbor, he was still a sinner. And for that, only the gospel can make him pleasing to God. God's servants, called to proclaim law and gospel, is still what every generation of the church is all about. This is the message we still need to promote to the culture of our time. Fortunately for LCMS Communications and for all those who nobly work in the many and various mercy and social efforts of our synod, we are a church body. So we can acknowledge that society is inclined towards good. But we can also be messengers who say to the culture, your prayers and your alms have ascended as in a memorial before God. And even more, we get to be Peter, who is sent to tell them the good of the gospel which saves them. It is the message to the culture of this and every generation. Amen.